This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06, and for our first story of the day, we're talking about ageism in the workplace, and this is from an article on Quartz. So we're also just wondering what the situation is like in Malaysia.
Yeah, so it comes from a survey done by Fairy God Boss, which is a career site for women. And they surveyed over 1,000 people over the age of 40 in the US because they wanted to find out how many have encountered ageism in the workplace and what it looks like and whether men or women are more likely to experience it.
So, very good news. The survey found that over 70% of the respondents hadn't experienced ageism, but many of them felt some sort of age-related discrimination. Men and women reported similar experiences. 13% of men and 12% of women surveyed believed their advanced age kept them from being hired. Nearly equal numbers of men and women said a co-worker had made a negative remark about their age.
And I think one of the most probably depressing findings from the questionnaire is that most people who had sensed ageism at the workplace noticed it before their 45th birthday.
I am so glad we're doing this topic because it finally gives me a chance to vent my spleen and complain about you young whippersnappers and the way you've been treating me. But I wonder with this survey, it starts at 40 years old. I don't count that person at the moment because I'm really old as a moment when ageism could happen. But it is our 40s, our late 40s, and up until about the age of 52 is our optimal earning age. Mm. The drop-off is actually quite rapid after that. And so people who are in that age group are dominating the culture, actually.
Okay.
So I think that there is also, dare I say, something can be said for ageism in the other direction too.
So you mean those who might be below the age of 25?
Directed at.
Right.
So, I want everyone to respect me because I'm an elder and that's just the way it should be. But I do also...
Your call for more senior discounts.
But I wonder the other way around as well. But ageism in the workplace, this survey is from the USA. There are cultural differences wherever you go. So is there a difference in a Malaysian office? We're talking about offices here.
Mm. Mm.
So all these things I think that our listeners might be able to help us out with.
So in this particular case, right, and it's been something that's been sort of on the periphery of Malaysian news, where there has been a lot of articles written about the presence of ageism in the workplace. It's not something that's necessarily super prevalent. I just wonder how in that situation the dynamics would continue to change as Malaysia is due to becoming an aging nation by 2035. And also the fact that we are trying to push the retirement age to a higher and higher number. So we are likely going to see the workforce changing quite dramatically in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, especially because there are conversations about how the future of work will be more fluid, where it's not necessarily just one career path for everyone. We might have to change jobs and change careers somewhere along the way. And that requires things like acquiring new skills or getting to work in new environments. So there is the concern that if... people who are of a more advanced age, the stereotype is that they are not able to learn new skills, especially related to technology, or whether they are open to accepting new ideas or learning new things, whether this will affect the ability of people my age, really, because the future of work, this will happen in like 20, 30 years' time. And this is when people like you and me, Kelvin, will be at the age in the future, and whether we will be affected just because of this stereotype that we maybe not be up to date with the technology at that time.
Mm. Mm,
yeah, I mean, I respect your careful use of words, I suppose, around me. But I think that the demographic of the job for life career path, I think they're already finding themselves at that retirement moment. People now at the age of 50 might already be multiple jobs,
mm-hmm.
Have had multiple jobs. So perhaps there is something shared in common between the age groups in the office space right now. But sure, I mean, I feel the ageism actually within myself, because technology changes so fast, and I don't necessarily have the elasticity to be able to adapt to newer platforms. So if I'm suggesting that one, there's an ageism in the other direction, but that also it's an internalized ageism too.
Yeah, and to that point, it does extend to areas outside the workplace. For example, does it limit you from what you want to learn? And if we are trying to encourage people to be lifelong learners, that stigma really has to go, right? That just because you may be of a certain age, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are less quick to absorb something new. The myth that you might not be able to learn anything new when you're at a certain age, that's detrimental. If let's say you just want to pick up something for fun or something that might actually give you a side income, a second income on top of your retirement income, there is the risk there that, well, society just thinks you are not able to learn, so we're not going to let you, or we're going to discourage you significantly through peer pressure.
And I think, on the other hand, ageism perhaps exists, like you said, Cam, on the other end of the spectrum towards young people as well. So, for example, if someone of a younger age misses out on promotion or a raise in their salary because they are deemed maybe too young or not experienced enough to get these things, and or if when in a situation where they contribute ideas and it's considered maybe not as useful or for that situation. So I just wonder if young people also feel that they experience ageism at work. I'm interested to know that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the one who brought it up, but I want to stamp it out as well right okay. now. I mean, this is my moment, okay? You can have, you will have your turn in the near future. I can promise you that, young man. But I think our listeners will, a broad spectrum of ages here, will have their complaints about mm-hmm. old people, as much as anything else. But it is, my goodness, the workplace has changed so radically in the last just 10 to 15 years. And the need to adapt to that has been a challenge. Mm-hmm. And most people have risen to that challenge, but the pace just picks up. And so there are the people, younger people, as you say, Ayman, who have the facility to be able to adapt so much faster that ageism is cruel, but there would be frustrations being felt.
So you can let us know if you've experienced ageism in the workplace. We'd like to hear from you. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 0187898899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking to Chai Sen Teng, Senior Research Officer at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging in UPM. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
5:16, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. We are talking about ageism in the workplace. A survey done in the US found that, well, most people don't experience it. So we were wondering what the case is like locally. We're now going to cross over to Chai Sen Teng, a Senior Research Officer at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging in University Putra, Malaysia. Sen Teng, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Is ageism a problem in Malaysia, and how much of it is a problem?
Well, I think it is so well accepted, probably it would be hard to even detect ageism. The very fact that we do have mandatory retirement ages is a form of age discrimination in a way. But I think in Malaysia, especially for the workplace, seniority still counts for something, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But I think in general, we have a clause in the constitution where we say that a person shall not be discriminated by race, ethnicity, gender, place of origin, but we do not have age in that list. So perhaps that's one low-hanging fruit that we can think about. But in general, because of our culture and our situation, it's not generally as bad. I mean, we still value the elderly as a resource, as a source of wisdom and a guidance in the family. So perhaps there are situations where we say that it's pretty bad, but in general, I would say that we probably need more studies to decide on that question.
So as you said, our culture is one that has a lot of respect for our elders. Does that same sort of respect carry on into the workplace, or have you seen a shift happening as the age gap in the workforce starts to get bigger?
So I think in essence, it all boils down to the family institution. Of course, we are looking at a period where, of course, the family is gradually being weakened. The role of the family is not strong as before. But perhaps what we are looking at is actually a sense of a changing intergenerational compact. You know, if previously we take care of our children and there's the expectation that they will take care of us in turn when we grow old. But situations have changed. People are living much longer than before. And then you have sandwich generations that are trapped between taking care of their aging parents and also their own children. So I think at the end of the day, there is probably some shift in the family structure, family values, and the way we look at older persons, both at the workplace and at home. Of course, we have a term for it nowadays, where we call it the multi-generational workforce, where the millennials will work side by side with what we call the elderly, you know, older workers. And they are not just value differences, but probably there are also some differences in terms of technological adaptation and how they communicate with one another. Probably they will just email or WhatsApp, and this could create issues at the workplace if the multi-generational workforce are not in sync, you know, or they are not really with each other on all these new forms of communication, where the boundaries lie and all that. So I suppose, yes, these are some issues that can be addressed and should be looked into by companies, especially HR, and how the different generational expectations will lead to maybe a conflict or misunderstanding or miscommunication.
Do you know whether gender affects how people experience forms of age discrimination at work?
Well, I think that we do have a carryover problem, especially with past trends of marriage and employment. We usually say that aging is a double jeopardy for older women, because first they are getting old, and then they are women. So they are mostly housewives, and they do not have savings of their own, and they would be reliant on their children. And of course, since women marry older men, you know, their likelihood of being a widow is much higher than men. So this indirectly creates a dependency narrative. And a lot of cases where we see is that the elderly women, you know, especially after their spouse passed away, then they have to rely on their adult children. So there is some vulnerability issues there, but definitely there's a gender dimension to it, because it cut across many aspects of old age and aging.
How do you see the local workforce dealing with some of the challenges that come from having an aging workforce?
Well, because the workplace is a formal sector employment, so we have what we call a mechanism where we phase out older workers, you know, through whether it's a minimum retirement age or mandatory retirement age. So I think the real challenge here actually is how these older persons after the age of 60 will be able to find gainful employment if they want to continue to work. So this is the major issue here. I think in terms of older workers, those in their mid 40s or 50s, they might have difficulties in finding work because of, it's basically a competition issue. I mean, companies might decide that, you know, I could probably hire a much younger worker at a lower cost. But what is the trade-off here? You know, what is the trade-off in terms of work experience and skills? So I think, yes, in the sense that we probably need to recognize deficiencies, and we have to make sure that we have structures like the HRDF, the Human Resource Development Fund, where they can utilize these funds for retraining purposes for older workers so that they can remain relevant to the workforce and they can, you know, update their skills. But the real issue here is how companies deal with their older workers, you know, that whether it is something that they can move up along the value chain, or, you know, how do they manage this?
What measures do you find people take to avoid the perception that their age will somehow affect their performance at work?
Oh, I think definitely. Some examples that we have came across is actually, you know, they omit certain information from their CVs because they feel like, you know, they might be discriminated if they put down their age, you know, or things like that. So these are conscious and unconscious practices where everyone accept and admit that if they are trying to look for a new job in their 40s and 50s, it's going to be an uphill struggle unless, you know, they are moving from a senior to a junior position. There are also issues there because they'll be overqualified. So I think this is definitely playing out in the workplace. But the real issue here is actually how we view productivity and how do we measure them. People in senior management roles or management roles, or regardless of their age, you know, or even in executive roles, is that we need to have a good measurable yardstick of performance so that a person is not really sorted out for seniority or, oh, this person is due for promotion, you know, they have been there for so long or whatever. These should not really be good rationales for moving up someone in the corporate ladder. So these are the issues that I think all organizations will have to deal with. I think in some ways, in organizations where seniority might matter a lot, there might be some downside to that practice. But I think it is all about organizational culture, about how they value performance and actual deliverables over other indicators that are probably less important in hindsight.
Right, so we're still part of a culture that rewards the seniority and experience that comes from being a more mature worker. Having said that, if discrimination were to happen based on age, is there anything we can do about it?
Well, the interesting thing in Australia, for example, they have these equal opportunity commissions and all these bodies where people can, you know, like sexual harassment cases, lodge a report or file a grievance so that, you know, they want to complain that, you know, they're being treated unfairly at the workplace because of their age or because of their gender or because of their race. So probably, yes, these are labor practices, you know, market. How do we regulate industrial relations between employers and employees and how remuneration is being increased or reduced by performance? So yes, definitely, there can be many such structures where we put in place by the government or by the Ministry of Human Resources or improvements to the Employment Act. Just recently, the Ministry of Finance made some amendments to the tax code where employers can actually get a tax rebate for hiring older workers aged 60 years and above, but only if their salary is 4,000 ringgit and below. So it's a good start in by any count. So I think we will have more of such laws, more of such regulations where we try and both protect the worker and the employers from any grievances or issues with discrimination in general, not just age, but sex discrimination or discrimination by ethnicity. These are all going to improve in the years to come.
Now, as life expectancy increases, how else does society have to adjust to the fact that the working population is going to get older?
Yeah, multi-generational workforce would be the most immediate impact. But perhaps the issue here of lengthening life expectancy is really about the choice to work. Does someone have a choice that, you know, if they want to work, they can continue to work? That should be our focus. Of course, we always say that there will be people who want to retire early when they can. Then they are not affected by those laws. They are not affected by any increase in age of retirement at all, unless the benefits are tied to that. So the question here is always about providing options and choices for those who want to work, who need to work, and whether there are regulations that help promote and encourage and incentivize employers to hire older workers. not just because of their age, but because they have the right skill set and they have the right ability and they meet the needs of the organization. So how do we educate employers, you know, to look beyond the age factor and to more appreciate workers in general rather than just looking at their, you know, race, ethnicity or gender or age? So this is something that we should promote. But work-life balance will also change in the years to come. Because now with the pervasiveness of modern technology, there are other forms of work that can happen without them necessarily going to the office. So gig work, gig economy, these are all new and emerging forms of employment that can be very helpful for older persons. Because, you know, age is not a factor. Traveling to the office is not a factor. You can work remotely from home. And these are the new kind of structures that we should support so that everyone, you know, who needs work can find them wherever they are.
Sen Teng, thanks for weighing in. That was Chai Sen Teng, a senior research officer at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging in University Putra, Malaysia. You know, please do keep your thoughts coming. We have been receiving a lot of them recounting experiences of being discriminated by your age. That number again, 01878-9899 to WhatsApp, 7733-2900 to call.